freaking out of.
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more scream.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well. Hope you guys are having a good morning. Summer's back, which is sweet. Going to be back here for a little while. It's good to have you. Missed you. Showed up, I don't know, like 3 o'clock yesterday. All of a sudden, it returned, which was great. We were out in the golf course. Awesome time down at Druids Glen for 710 Day. Really fun 710 Day yesterday. If you haven't seen the little video that Taylor posted on the 710 account, I hope you'll watch it. It just honestly... it means something to all of us. You guys mean a lot to all of us, and it was fun to be able to talk about that yesterday and celebrate the listeners who have helped allow this station to continue to exist here for the better part of 9+ years. So thank you again for that. It was a really fun day. Some fun golf. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Howdy putting on a show.
Howdy was in rare form.
Yeah. You think he did it, some of the stuff intentionally? Some of these stories you've told me?
No.
Any of them were done intentionally.
I will say, Howdy did something on a golf course. I've been playing golf now for 6+ years.
Right.
So not forever, but in 6+ years, I've never seen what Howdy did in the course yesterday. Mm-hmm. Kyle, you've been playing your whole life. Have you ever seen what Howdy did yesterday on the golf course?
Certainly rare.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it happen once,
maybe even twice in my 20s. So never three times.
Three times. Never seen it. Never heard of it. Yeah. Can't imagine how it happened.
And I've never seen it either.
Borderline makes me want to believe or think that he did it intentionally so he can get airtime today.
No, absolutely, positively, there is no way that's true.
Okay.
The big news this morning is that Gene Segura is leading the vote for the final vote, which is shocking to me. Honestly, congratulations to Mariners fans. I am blown away.
Is that bigger news than the game?
What game? Game?
The first game.
The Mariners looked like crap and got blown out. We can move back. We'll come back to that later.
All right.
But the news is that Gene Segura is leading the final vote. How could it not be?
Oh, fine. No, that's great. I love the way you're looking at it.
I am incredibly impressed by Mariner fans. And not that I'm not always, open to being impressed, but you're not as big a fan base as either Boston or New York or Los Angeles, sheer market size or history, et cetera.
Not yet banging out that stadium every night like you did in the early 2000s.
I think Segura has every right to be an all-star, but so do those other guys. I mean, it's not like he's head and shoulders above them, right?
In Rosario, he is. Maybe with the other two, some of Stanton's power. I think statistically speaking,
he's like maybe one of his own arm's length above those guys, but not head and shoulders.
His arms are so short.
They're so short.
The picture of him wearing the t-shirt was like,
whoa.
What
was that? His belly is sticking out?
Yes.
Could there be a worse looking athlete than Gene Segura, who's as good as he is? Who's a worse-looking good athlete than Gene Segura?
That's a good question. I
don't mean like Cecil Fielder or something, where he's not really an
remember
athlete.
Remember when Golden Tate walked by us? We were out at the
training camp. High on the list.
Walked by us, short arms, like butt out. Like he was stiff that day, and you're like, how does that dude run 4.4? How is he so explosive?
Golden Tate is one of the worst-looking athletes we've seen be great at what he does. Yeah. Gene Segura is on the list, though. I mean, those two guys. give me another name if you got one. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Give me an athlete who body type looks worse, but is as good and athletic. I don't just mean like fat, sloppy dude who turns out to be. Jason Vargas would be on that list.
Right.
I mean, sloppy women's underwear, like the whole deal. And yet, he was a pretty good athlete on the mound.
Yeah, pitchers have been there. The Bazios, you kind of got to eliminate pitchers.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so.
But some of those guys are just fat. That's different. That's not what I'm talking about. Vargas was awkward looking, just didn't look in any way athletic, and yet he moved around pretty good.
Right.
Had been a hitter in college.
Right.
It's different. Anyway, I'm amazed. Amazed by Mariners fans.
They showed up. But we were hoping to just be like, don't be fifth. Don't be fourth. If you're third, if you're on the podium, you've got a chance. If you're second, you may really have a chance. And then yesterday, just as our show was ending, you guys were gathering to head up down to Druids Glen. Yeah, the news came out. He's in first. He is in first. And then you start to feel this come out of the woodwork and everybody on it, not like celebrating, okay, we're done, and Miss Lydia leading the charge with this. No, let's finish this now. If we said beforehand, and you said this yesterday, hey, if he's in first or second, even if he's in second, he's got a shot to do this. Benintendi from Boston's in second. Gene's in first. And what a statement to, again, I think the country and everybody else of this thing that's going on this season, baseball-wise, with this team.
Well, and it is interesting. There's a Mariner and a Brewer that are leading the voting in the American National League, and maybe that's... By the way, I've never heard of the Brewer, and his numbers are amazing. What's that guy's name again?
Oh, geez,
Lydia. Jesus Aguilar. You've never heard of him?
Lydia, I know he's leading the league in home runs, and he's hitting 300. Well, his numbers are awesome.
It's not fair, because I watch the Cardinals, and they play the Brewers a lot, so I should not be imposing my judgment on you.
I have, until yesterday, quite literally... never heard of him, and yet he's leading the voting, and he deserves to be. His numbers are off the charts. They're awesome. But is there something to the David versus Goliath, smaller market team, you know, battling against, you know, the St. Louis's and Boston's and New York's and the great, you know,
blue-blooded powerhouses. Yep.
That's what Jerry Krasnick said the other day to Bob Gross and Tom.
I think it's interesting when you have a city like, say, Milwaukee with Jesus Aguilar, or Seattle. You know, they're going. You guys are going up against Andrew Benintendi and Giancarlo Stanton. You know, it's sort of the David versus Goliath thing. And so I think it's kind of cool in that respect. And look, I guess anything that forces somebody or entices somebody to sit on their computer all day on the MLB.com website.
Lydia.
punching in numbers. From MLB standpoint, probably isn't a bad thing.
Right, Lydia?
What?
Huh? Sorry, Lydia's distracted.
I was punching in numbers.
She's voting again.
I saw that.
So I guess this was well-received in the Mariner clubhouse yesterday. They were pretty happy about how this went down. Here's Gene Segura trying to thank the fans, but he can't because D. Gordon's just incorrigible.
That's really good support, you know. Even I was a bit disappointed when I got any news, but at the end of the day, everything, you know, got to pass off, and as a professional guy, you know, you don't have to handle that.
I'm not professional. He should already been there.
If I made it, great. If I'm not,
he hit 330. You know,
continue to
do 20 stolen bases.
Do my thing and just
playing great defense.
Just fun. And, you know, we know we got so many good.
No one else is hitting 330 and didn't make it.
All right, dude. We got so many
I'm
good.
I'm just saying.
Good.
Shouldn't have had to send them.
Shortstop in the league.
Well, they got his back, man. And the way the team, from the marketing department to the players to the fans, is pretty cool.
Yeah, now they got to finish it about 1 o'clock. I think the deadline is 1 o'clock Pacific time today. And now you got to finish this. And I think you continue to make a statement, not only within your walls, which is important, which you hear from D there. And it backs up the first 92 games of this season, that this team has had one another's backs throughout the course of it. But also, I think, for the baseball community, again, to look at this little thing that's going on up here in Seattle, the team with the longest drought in the playoff run and on any of the professional sports, got some juice flowing up there, and it's been a little bit different than some of the predecessors.
Got about a million texts on the bad body.
Yeah.
I think you got to eliminate fat guys like Pablo Sandoval and John Daly. Like, take fat guys out of it.
Okay.
It's more about the awkwardness of, because he's not fat. He's just awkward looking.
And again, by the way, for those who may be offended by this commentary, don't be, because if you'd have been at spring training with me and Kyle and Salky sitting at the table.
Charles Barkley's a good answer.
It was D. Gordon that came out with 52 shirts, right, stuffed into his pants and everything else, looking like Gene, pants pulled up to the chest.
Tyrannosaurus arms.
Short arms, doing the whole thing, making fun of his little buddy there.
Hey, last thing before we move on here. Are you ready to stop rooting for the A's to sweep the Astros?
No.
When the Mariners tied it up in the ninth, you were excited.
Yeah.
You're nuts.
Yes.
You're off your rocker nuts.
I was thrilled.
You were hoping that by this morning the A's would be 5 games back.
Sure.
Get out of here.
They play no defense. They got broken down pieces of their game that you know is going to get caught up.
Get out of here. You lie. You lie through your teeth. There is no way you could continue to still think that as you were watching the Mariners get spanked last night. And all of a sudden, here come the A's storming back, score 4 in the ninth against the Astros.
Yeah.
Look like they're going to win after Piscotty puts them ahead.
Yeah.
No way you wanted to come in here today and see that the Mariners were only 5 games up on Oakland. Now, they would have been still 3 back at Houston, but you didn't want to see 5 games back ahead of Oakland, did you?
I am not going to back down on what I said. I said 3 of 4. Take 3 of 4.
Get
they still got
here.
A chance to do that. So, and I thought last night would be the first 2. Maybe Houston wins tonight, and then Oakland finishes up winning 3 of 4. Did not happen.
No way you wanted to see that. Brock Osweiler named here. I think that makes a lot of sense. Looks like a giraffe.
Yeah.
And then perhaps the one that appears the most often on our
Jose
text
Lopez?
Machine. Russell Wilson. 710, time for Need to Know.
need to know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
I don't know whether you need to know this or not, but the Mariners got spanked yesterday. Mike Leake was as bad as a pitcher's been for the Mariners in a while. Gave up 7 runs on 11 hits in just 4 innings. It honestly could have been worse. There were some other incredibly hard hit balls that somehow found gloves. I mean, it was a brutal, brutal outing for Mike Leake, who I think is just about done seeing the Angels for a while. So they get beat 9-3. Thankfully, Oakland does not complete the comeback. They came back from 4 runs down to actually end up taking a lead 5-4 in the 11th before Trinan blew the game in the bottom of that inning on one of the strangest plays you'll ever see. And so the Mariners remain six games up on Oakland. They are now 4 games behind Houston.
Yeah, it just did not feel right last night. Right? I mean, so much of the energy did going into the game in Gene Segura and where he sits in the first inning, for goodness sakes. I mean, that was awesome. He scored 3 runs. Mitch Haniger, the big 3-run home run. Like, okay. Here you go. Now, Mike Leake just kind of get back on track. A rough start against the Angels on the 4th of July. Also kind of battered and hammered in that game. And then Oakland or Anaheim make a play, and the D makes an error, and the D has another error, and they come back. They hit,
Robbie
they hit,
Cano
they hit,
doesn't
they
make
hit.
That error.
Yeah.
Robbie Cano gets it
just didn't feel. This is now 3 of the last 4 games where it just has not been the competitive fiber that you felt in the first 90. And am I panicking? No. Am I watching the loss of Mike Zunino? Absolutely. Does this rotation with a lot of soft throwers, does it need the guy calling the pitches behind the plate and the guy that has immense confidence in them and vice versa? I think it does. Yeah, that's now 3 out of 4 games that you've lost and some not being competitive. Get back on track tonight, Marco.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Won't be Felix thrown on Thursday. He was placed on the 10-day disabled list with a stiffness in his lower back. DL stint will run straight into the All-Star break. So really, he'll only end up missing one start. Look, I think this was probably expected, and it's all good news. We've talked often about how Felix was not going to make every single start this year. They haven't planned on that. They don't believe that he, at this stage in his career, with his health, the number of pitches he's thrown in his career, that would be a good idea for him. So this may be because the back is legitimately bad. It also may be because it's a good opportunity to give Felix a rest, which they think he needed. And it doesn't hurt that he just didn't pitch well in his last outing anyway. So all good news here. Honestly, I'm not one bit. I don't in any way look at this as negative. I think this is a positive thing that they were proactive with Felix.
I know this is need to know, not good news, bad news, no news, but maybe we can kind of dig into it a little bit more. Then I'm not going to say good news, but this is the right news. This is the right move. This is built out of, you know, just some struggles here for Felix and a guy that is just not going to throw 200 innings this year. He was not going to. And I think the good news and the positive spin and very much the positive side is they planned for this. They also knew that. They were not counting in any way on Felix of being the workhorse he used to be. They were going to measure him and manage him throughout the course of the season. And I think this is a stretch here with next week with the All-Star break. It is the right move at the right time, but I can't quite spin it as super positive news.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, we started off with this. It's pretty amazing. Major League Baseball released their early voting tally for the All-Star Game final vote. Gene Segura is your leader in the American League. Voting closes today at 1 o'clock our time. So still lots of opportunity to sit by your computer or demand that your intern vote for Gene Segura over and over again. Look, this is a story about Gene, but it's just as much a story about this Mariner team and the way they have all come together as teammates, all of them wearing the shirt, as a marketing department, as a fan base, and even as corporate sponsors. I mean, Alaska Airlines putting T-shirts on planes. Pretty amazing, all of the work done to help out Gene Segura. And if I were him, I'd be awfully touched. Not just that I'm leading the voting, but that everybody went the extra mile for me.
Yes.
We've often talked about how if you don't say it yourself, other people will say it for you.
Yep.
I think Gene Segura is certainly learning that right now.
Yeah, I think that's all very well said. I think the only thing I would add to it is you can even take it a step further beyond the corporate partnerships, beyond the team, beyond the marketing arm of Mariners that once again nail it, and just look at the Mariner community at large. This only happens because of everybody out there, all of you and more, responding at schools and at work and everywhere else in the community say, no, I want to get behind this and I want to support this and I want to make this thing right. As you said to begin the show, a very Seattle thing. This feels like a Seattle communal thing when we all do come together in a positive way, and that's certainly what happened. And now you got to finish it over the next 5 hours or so. 1 o'clock deadline, 1 o'clock we will know the final tally and the final results. Yeah. Don't get fat and happy now. Don't get satisfied. Go finish the deal.
All right, there you go. 3 things you need to know every morning at 7:10. Texter here says, hey, it's a division game. Why don't the Mariners move the pitching rotation around so the Angels don't see the same pitchers 2 series in a row? They obviously knew what was coming.
Mm.
Well, that works both ways. You're sure seeing does. The same pitchers too, and their offense sputtered once again after the first inning. Didn't do a thing.
Nothing.
Barely even threatened.
Even with Gary Richards being pulled because of injury.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to buy that argument. I understand that you've seen each other a lot, but you should have the same advantage.
Textoy responded in any way to what Howdy did 3 times on a golf course.
No, nobody has guessed.
I would be very curious if any of you out there could figure out what Howdy did 3 times on the golf course.
We will pay it off right after we speak to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing great. Man, this Brandon Browner story just continues to get worse, huh? He's
really
been charged with attempted murder.
Attempted murder, 4 other charges, and I think he could face life in prison.
Wow.
If found guilty.
Man, look, when he was here, was there any indication? I know he was a violent guy on the field, but were there any indications that he had these kind of problems off the field?
Not to this degree. Not that we knew of. I mean, we knew that he came from the CFL. He was the most physical cornerback in football, but we didn't know that translated. Now, I know he's had some problems in the past, past his Seattle days, but when he was here, I don't think anybody had any indication that these kind of tendencies might show up. And again, he's innocent until proven guilty, but boy, this one looks sad.
I really hope that this is a reminder and a lesson to all of us that we don't know these guys, and we talk about it before, and even, John, someone like you or a member of the media who does actually get to physically know them, you still don't really know how they are and how they behave behind the scenes when the media and when the cameras are
gone. Especially when it's done. When the career is over, there is one thing about the structure of a team and the accountability in that room and everything else. But then you get done, and everything that you have known is no longer there. It changes things. Now, a player that is still very much in the fold and facing some serious allegations as well is Shady McCoy. Have you started to read into some of those news stories as well, John?
We have it. Did you see Richie Incognito just tweeted us out a few minutes ago that he knows the whole story, and he thinks that McCoy was not involved?
Oh, well, if Richie Incognito says it, I'm prone to believe this.
What he claimed on Twitter was that he wasn't even in the same state. That McCoy was in Atlanta when this incident happened.
But is the whole idea that he paid somebody to come in and do this? He could have been on the moon. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, if the allegation is that Shady McCoy paid somebody essentially to come in and rob and beat up his girlfriend, then it doesn't matter what state he's in.
I mean, what Richie did say, which, of course, the police confirmed, is that something did happen, that the girlfriend was beaten up, and I guess her friend who was there also suffered some injuries. So, but again, we have to find out if McCoy was in town, out of town, and where he was, and that's exactly what the police are doing now.
We know your database knows no end. You research it constantly. Are you still waiting on some birth dates or something?
I need 2 birthdates.
Okay, you got 2 birthdates to go. Now, do you have a column in your Excel spreadsheet for the John Madden football rankings and where Madden football ranks all of these NFL players?
It's funny. I don't yet. I know I did it a couple years ago, but I was just actually looking at maybe doing it today.
Whoa, really? You're going to add that?
Yeah.
Because these players, actually, of all the rankings, I'm going to talk about this in Blue 42, of all of the rankings of the Pro Football Focus, right, of the NFL Network's poll, the top one, I think that these players spend more time evaluating their Madden grade next to their peers than they do just about anybody else's analysis.
That wouldn't surprise me. Because they take this serious, and it's fortunate that the grades are out there and able to see. I know that they're pretty good, I think, at picking most of the grades. Some grades, all kind of grading is never perfect.
Hey, what do you think of Mr. Tepper there in Carolina having to honor Mr. Richardson's statue?
Are you surprised? I'm not. I mean, I think, and the one thing, I mean, Jerry Richardson, even though the legacy was seriously damaged by the allegations of how he was in the office with people and workers and all that stuff, I mean, he did bring that town a football team. Mm. He kept the football team there. He gave them a good football team. And so he wants that statue to stay up to remember what he did. And even though some of the most recent memories of Jerry Richardson may not be positive from the allegations, he did so many good things for that city.
John, the Players Union filed a grievance over the league's anthem policy. Forgetting about the merits of how you want this to go, what do you think will happen in terms of the courts and how this plays its way out?
What I hope, because again, this wasn't even voted on. This was just implemented, which I think may, you know, give the grievance a chance to maybe have some success. What I hope, it opens up the dialogue where both sides can get together and figure out the right thing to do. I mean, that's what was supposed to happen. Doug Baldwin said it at the OTAs that, you know, he met with Roger Goodell, talked with Roger Goodell, and Goodell said, oh yeah, we'll get back to you and we'll talk this thing through. And that never did happen. You know, my hope is that they go back to the original way, which is have the players just stay in the locker room totally, which is the way it is in college football, which is the way it was before like 2010. I hope they go back to that way because they need to eliminate this controversy. It's just too much. It's hurt ratings. It's hurt fans. It's hurt players. It's hurt too much damage. And of course, right now, the owners are too stubborn to maybe just implement what they had before.
Wildcard time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
Which is your favorite cartoon bear? Smokey the Bear, Baloo from Jungle Book, Yogi Bear, or Winnie the Pooh?
No, it's Yogi Bear. Yeah. I mean, you know, he was the best. I mean, you know,
Boo Boo
going around
there. Hey there,
Boo
Boo.
Yeah, you got to love Yogi. I mean, because he was always funny. He was always trying to, hey, better than the average bear.
Yep.
Who are the other two you said, Howdy?
Winnie.
Winnie the Pooh, Weak Sauce
Baloo.
Bear.
Baloo. Baloo was amazing.
Yeah.
He taught you about the bear necessities.
Had his moments.
He had life wisdom.
Yeah, I got to go Yogi. I'm with
Yogi
professor.
Was like the all-time.
Totally agree.
Hey, John, are you a sun guy? Do you enjoy the sunshine?
I do. I don't get enough chance to go outside.
Well, go outside. Go take your database onto the deck today and go enjoy yourself. Beautiful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there you go. John Clayton with us every single morning at 7:15. All right, let me read some of the guesses on what Boy Howdy did three times on a golf course.
Have you ever done it once?
Yes.
Yes. I think I've done it once.
Yeah.
I think most people have done it
once. Yeah, once in a round. I mean, right. I've probably done it and
yes.
But three times is shocking.
Right.
My guess is Howdy, someone hit the ball with so much spin it went backwards three times. No.
Nope.
Let's see. I'm going to guess Boy Howdy ate three hot dogs on the golf course yesterday. Nope. Did not eat three, just one. Did Howdy hit three birds? No, it wasn't that easy.
Interesting.
Howdy swung and missed three times in the course. No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Howdy didn't hit it past the ladies' tees three times. No, I don't think that happened.
Really?
No, he did a pretty good job. There's only one of those that I saw.
All right.
A lot of people guessing hit the ball backwards. Hit the pin three times. No.
Hmm.
Did he drive into the tee marker three times? That would be amazing. No, wasn't that.
Okay.
Ate food that was not his own three times. Did you do that at all yesterday, Howdy?
Not once.
All right, no. Three times on one course, Howdy, yesterday, left a club behind. Twice it was the same club. So he left his pitching wedge. First, he left his sand wedge. That thing was gone for most of the round.
Right.
A few holes later, he left his pitching wedge. Then he got it back from the people behind us.
Uh-huh.
Then he left it again.
Oh.
And when he left it again, a ranger came by asking for somebody else's club that had been left somewhere. And Howdy was like, oh, no, but I'm still missing my Redbird pitching wedge. And then they found that. And then Howdy eventually had to go back to hole 10 as we were coming around 17 to rescue the original sand wedge from behind the green.
Which it was right there.
That's amazing. Three. Have you ever seen anybody leave three clubs behind in one round?
Never. Never. Not at even a Tamashanter or Trilogy, the 55 plus. No.
Thank goodness I had three wedges on hand because I had a real tough time with my 60-degree lob wedge.
What happened, Howdy?
Somebody was suggesting that Howdy did a 5-720 in the golf cart and laid the thing down on its side. No, it wasn't that either. He was pretty good. All right.
Wow.
A fun day out of Druids Glen. Thanks to those guys on 7-10 day. Coming up next, Brock, it's our favorite little game. And we got some good ones for you today. I think you're going to have a hard time answering at least one of these. Lydia's never going to be able to answer one.
Nope.
It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Leaving clubs behind. My dad does that all the time. Text message. We didn't even find his putter last time. How do you leave your putter?
You see that in scrambles a lot where there's like food and beverage, right. Maybe drink, you know, canopies, or maybe people will, you know, partake in some of that stuff. Maybe it scrambled. This wasn't a scramble,
three
right?
times, no.
Well, you guys have golfed with me multiple times. I've never done this once.
No.
It's pretty amazing. Three yeah. times in one round. Congratulations, Howdy. That was something I'd never seen before.
Even when you overcame your broken hands, where you put your wrist bone back in.
I thought he did that yesterday. He went out into the woods to hit another shot. Ow, my wrist. Like, oh my God, not again. Time to play our favorite Wednesday game, which is better. All right, simple game. You know the rules. Yep. I'm going to give you two choices. You tell me which is better.
All right. Got it, Lydia?
All right, starting with golf, since we were out golfing yesterday.
Stop voting and focus on the show.
Seriously. Which is better? Good golf shot, bad result,
yep.
or bad golf shot, good result. So, for instance,
where in the round are we?
Doesn't matter.
What's the score?
Could be hole one. You're on a par three. You hit a ball way up in the air, beautiful arc,
yep.
just goes past the green, kicks off, and goes into the bunker, and now you got a five.
Yep.
Or short par three, no water between you and the hole.
Worm burner,
yep. ground ball off the tee, ends up somehow bouncing up onto the green off a rock,
yep.
6 feet from the hole.
Yep. And as Mr. Nicholas said to Damon Heward when that happened.
Which is better?
Better to be lucky than good, or that's one way to do it. That's what he said to Damon.
Which is better?
That's one way to do that one.
You feel better about that?
Oh, yeah, because I know I'm going to hit other great shots along the way.
Wow.
And you know what?
Wow.
I'll take a bleeder and a blooper. Sure.
This is some athletic arrogance right here.
Seriously.
I know that I'll hit other great shots. So sure.
Howdy, which is better? I take that result.
I discovered firmly that it is way better to hit a shot really well that ends up being terrible.
Nope.
Because I'm not going to do that very
often.
Oh,
okay.
Totally agree.
I'm rarely going to hit a good shot, hit a shot well.
That's
right.
Fair.
So when you do hit them, you're like, yeah,
great, good for
I'm
me.
I'm making good contact. It felt good coming off the club. I hit the sweet spot. Yeah. I'm happy.
And I am totally stained by Mike Heward out there on the third hole, that par three, where he hit his Nancy Lopez 8-wood, and he just hit it too good.
I
just hit it too good. No, Dad, you didn't hit it too good. You hit the wrong club.
I'm fine with that.
No, nope.
Totally fine with that. That's fine with me.
Can it truly be considered a good shot if there isn't a good result?
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, you hit the ball well. Good ball striking, I should say.
Okay.
Good ball
it's like
striking,
like in baseball, when you hit
result.
A line drive to right. the second base.
Hard hit ball.
You feel really good about that swing because you really tagged that
Sometimes
ball.
You do what Alex Bregman did yesterday to win a game. Hit a foul ball that bounces backwards to the catcher, who drops it twice and then throws the guy wide to first.
Yep, take it.
All right.
Take it.
Do you want a listener suggestion?
Oh,
text message coming
sure.
in. The which is better? 710-710.
Yes.
Which is better, deck or patio? Or what exactly is the difference? Is a patio on
deck
the ground?
Deck is usually elevated.
Yep.
Deck has wood and it's elevated. Patio
yep.
is usually cement or
yeah.
something, and it's
aggregate
on the
or concrete, even okay. stamped concrete patios. You see.
And would you consider a porch to be enclosed? Does a
not
porch have screens enclosed?
No, not necessarily.
I would say a porch is enclosed.
Okay. All right.
That's always
patio
been
or
my
deck, deck.
Or at least has like a roof.
Yeah,
at least
like,
a cover.
I like deck. Yeah. I like looking up above and out on it. Yeah, I like a deck.
I'm going deck. All
firm
day.
Deck.
Got to be deck.
Kyle's
right?
got a great
What's
deck.
The advantage to a patio?
Well, you can usually have a bunch of different plants on it because you can have like planter boxes in it, and you can have
you
like
do that
actual
on a deck.
Garden
yeah.
beds
on a deck
and stuff.
I guess that's true. Yeah. I'll still go deck. I can't. I don't have one, but I think I would go deck.
Have you ever had one? Any of your homes?
No.
Growing up?
Yes.
Okay.
Not in a while. Had a porch for a while. Porch was actually sneaky great. I really liked having a porch.
All right.
All right. Which is better? Long at bat, and your pitcher gets the K at the end of it. Or long at bat, and your hitter comes up with a hit at the end of it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely the hitter.
Think so?
Oh, yes. That has positive. Right? So not only do
True.
You come up with the hit, you've also worn that pitcher out. You've aggravated them. You've frustrated them. You've ramped up the pitch count. No question the hitter making that happen. But Wade LeBlanc's celebration on a base
loaded.
That
was yeah. the one that kind of got me. Yeah. I was thinking about that moment, Wade LeBlanc, especially if it's just their last batter of the day or something.
Well, Mike Leake yesterday, Ian Kinsler, getting a 3-2 count.
Just brutal. Yeah, I think you're probably right on that one.
Hey, by the way, Kyle, how would you have voted Salk's mood walking in today after that loss?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys whether you think this was a loss that bothered me or not.
No, I didn't think about
too
it.
Too good a mood, 7-10 day, beautiful day,
golfing. It's just one of those losses that happens.
That's right. First game of a series.
It did bothered me a little bit more than that, but not much. Just because of the little trend line that's starting to develop here in the last
losing four of six wasn't great.
Yeah. So I'm slightly, like, I'm not bothered by that specific game. Sometimes you're going to get hammered. But I'm starting to be a little worried about the trend line.
Oh, I was about to play your I love being drunk drop.
I do love
sometimes you get hammered.
Sometimes. And I do love being drunk. Howdy didn't agree with him yesterday. Kept leaving clubs ball. All right, which is better? Lydia, you have to answer this. John Morosi or Jeff Passan? Lydia, which is better?
That's
John Morosi
so
or Jeff
and you
Passan?
You made it people?
Yeah.
Like, of all things, you made it people?
Yeah, who's better?
She could have answered any of these.
And this is going to come back on Tuesday when we talk to him.
Lydia, which is better? This sound will now live forever.
Yep.
Which is better? Jeff Passan or John Morosi?
No, I can't.
You certainly know whose disposition you identify.
Come on, you know your answer to this.
No question. Birds of a feather.
Lydia, either answer the question or stop lying.
You and John Morosi just sit here all optimistic, yep, speaking in Spanish here.
Don't you pretend that Jeff Passan comes
even close.
I can't say someone's better than another person.
Yeah, you have to do that. That's the game.
We have a minute and a half.
I guess I'll continue lying, quote, lying.
Lydia, I'll tell you what. I will sit here and not say another word until you answer this question. I am willing to tank whatever ratings we get just to sit here and wait until you answer this question.
Will you stop bullying people? Yesterday, you bullied Kyle on our show, and now you're trying to bully. I'm not going to stand for it.
Really?
I'm not going to stand
for it. I don't know. I don't see a 90-something win team that they're putting out there on the field. Do you guys?
I'm going.
You're using my own cuts against me. I made these cuts.
I'm going Jeff Passan. I love Passan.
I don't mean to be like Mr. Doomsday or anything.
So funny.
It's not fair.
Love Morosi. I'll take Passan. Who you got?
I love Passan. I'll take Morosi.
Okay.
I love Passan. I love the other edge of it. I do. But I'll take Morosi. Right.
When you say I'll take, that's I'll take Morosi.
Good. All right. Thank you, Lydia.
I'm not saying one's better.
Lydia thinks John Morosi's better than Jeff Passan.
I'm drafting my dodgeball team.
No.
I'll take John Morosi.
Way to go, Lydia.
You think John Morosi's better?
Way to go.
I mean, he is bilingual.
Hey, you got this Chris Peterson and Pete Carroll sound? What do you like better?
All right, which is better? Was it Happy Pete Carroll?
Oh, yeah. Double Rainbow Pete.
Let me hear Happy
This is really fun.
Happy Pete Carroll.
Yes.
Or Tense Chris Peterson.
Pete's day is, like, so important. When we're splitting hairs playing Auburns and, you know, and trying to compete with the best of the best, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. So we're not fast-forwarding until we in Atlanta.
Which do you like better? Happy Pete.
This is really fun.
Or Tense Coach Pete.
Yeah, I'll take Tense Coach Pete.
Really? I love Happy Pete. I think it's so funny.
And I was a little...
No, this is really fun.
I was a little tense, by the way.
This is really fun.
At the end of the interview, after Peterson gave us like 20 minutes, and you're like, yeah, the way you talk to us, Pete, you're so funny. And he's like, what does that mean?
Funny? Funny like a clown?
Yeah.
He agreed, though.
He did.
It was the way he was saying the names of everybody on his team. Like, it's like the opposite of the way we had the Golic voice saying, like, you got Sidney Rice?
Yes.
Like, he's not derisive.
No.
He's saying them with, like, almost an anger that you're not talking more about them.
Yep. Tension between just being a parent, disciplining, and just being a friend and loving up. Tension.
Which is better, half-hour sitcom or hour-long drama?
I'll take hour-long drama.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. As I get older, man, I start to appreciate the half-hour sitcom more and more. It's over in a half hour and I can go to bed.
Which is better? Which is better or which is worse?
Both.
Huh?
They're tied. Okay. They're both great. All right. That's another, another edition of Which is Better. Lydia, I'm proud of you.
Way to go,
I'm proud of you. I know it took a while, but I'm really proud of you. I think you grew today.
You going to text
Jeff, I really appreciate you. I've read your book. I think you're amazing. I read your work and listen to your Yahoo podcast. So in case they decide to use this sound against me in the future, please know that.
Are you still talking? What did you say? I didn't hear any of that. All I know is that you prefer John Morosi. You may like Jeff Passan. Yep. But you prefer Morosi. John Morosi.
No.
How fast is the fastest Husky? Brock's next. Coors Light's Blue 42. 710 ESPN Seattle.
I'm not sure what you guys are saying, talking like.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Now, we have some great texts coming in today. 710-710 powered by Coors Light. Really good ones. Really good. Patio all day long. A porch is not normally enclosed unless you're a mosquito country.
Right.
A patio is a poor man's deck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. Which is better, Valbuena's bat flip from last night on the double or literally anything else in the world?
If they get a lead, you have to throw inside on that guy.
I thought yesterday was the time to do it. If you're down, you're going to lose that game. Just hit him. You're already losing. Who cares? That's time to do it, not when you're up.
What a nincompoop.
Pete sounds like he's making a balloon animal. This is really fun.
This is really fun.
You just twist this and all of a sudden it's a dog. That's pretty funny. All right, ready? Yes. Coors Light's Blue 42. Sorry about that. A little interlude. Question number one. What did Jake Browning and Matt Hasselbeck have in common?
You know, yesterday when Coach Peterson was talking to us about what Jake has to do, it just reminded me so much of so many QB meetings I sat in. And in fact, you guys were at the Hall of Fame luncheon where Matt Hasselbeck was sharing the story with Coach Holmgren there in the audience. Both of those guys going into one of the local Hall of Fames, Pacific Northwest Hall of Fame. And Matt saying, yeah, when I came to Seattle, I thought I had all the answers. I was like on chapter 11 of the whole West Coast system. I got it. Brett Favre, we just did this river call. And why can't we just do this Tom call? And why can't I just do this? And why can't we do this side adjustment? And Mike's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Go back to basics. We're installing this thing. We're going to have a lot of young people. They are not where you are. You have to keep it simple. Those were Chris Peterson's words, you know, talking about Jake Browning. It just, again, was reminiscent of Mike Holmgren saying to Matt Hasselbeck, keep it simple. Here was Coach Peterson yesterday.
And I think one of the things Jake needs to do is just keep things simple. He knows so much football. And sometimes, you know, complexity and knowing so many things can almost work against you. And I think we're trying to just keep things as simple as we can.
And I know a little bit of that. My last year of college, like, I played for 3 years. And can we do this? And can we make this little adjustment? And why can't we do these things? And I have true freshman running back and some freshman linemen. Like, no, they're not ready. Well, they've got to get up to speed. And it's that fine line of, like, do I need to slow myself down, right? Or do I need to speed it up? And they catch up to me. And usually those coaches, they're the best barometers of that, not the player. Yeah, it just reminded me of something that Matt Hasselbeck certainly had to endure and learn and ultimately get benched before he fully bought into Holmgren's teaching.
Question number two. Madden player ratings came out yesterday. How much do they mean?
They mean a lot. And you saw a ton of players tweeting about it. The Honey Badger and hundreds of other NFL guys, some both frustrated and miffed at where they sit. And why? Because they pay no attention to the NFL Network's top 100 players. They'll see the tweet of that. They'll see it when the show. Maybe there's some frustration or some wish I could be one of the top 100. Pro Football Focus, we hear it all the time. All the players, like, you have no idea what you're looking at. You don't know our scheme. You could kind of minimize all those. Madden? Well, that's played every day. Those guys play that game. A huge percentage of the players play that game every single day, including with many of their teammates. And you get mocked. You get made fun of. You get belittled. You get frustrated. You get everything. How is Eli Manning? What is Eli Manning, 37th best quarterback? You know his teammates and Odell and crew are busting on him.
That just sounds
right. Russell, number three, by the way, in those rankings. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, 1 and 2. Russell, 3. Drew Brees, 4. Big Ben, 5. And onward and outward.
Does Russell's rating get better as the game goes on? Like, he's awful at the beginning, and then by the end, he's
and
perfect?
And then his fourth quarter he's unstoppable.
Did they actually change like that?
And on paper, as our intern Cole said, look at this. The Seahawks have 5 of the top 13 in the NFC West. The top 13 players in the NFC West, 5 of them are Seahawks.
Kind of.
I'm going to read the fine print. No Cam Chancellor, probably not Earl. And then it's just 3, and then they become kind of average.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, question number 3. We asked Chris Peterson yesterday who the fastest Husky was from the goal line to the 50-yard line. He hemmed and hawed like Lydia, but eventually he had an answer.
I think Savon Ahmed is, I mean, he's pretty fast. I mean, he can roll pretty good. Chico's right there. You know, Chico, I think it's Chico quicker than fast, but he has good top-end speed. He'd probably be right there.
Who is Savan Ahmed the fastest Savan. Husky?
Ahmed Savan.
That's what you said the other day.
That was really bad. Savan Ahmed is the fastest Husky, and I was glad to hear him say that, because sometimes, you know, the fastest guy, oh, I don't know, and I know I take it for granted. No, he is the fastest Husky, and you know what? I want to see him utilized even more. I want to see more two backs in the backfield. I'd like to see him and Miles both in the game even more. You saw spurts of it last season. I want to see heavy doses of it this year. And they're going to have what the Seahawks, frankly, have not had in the past and are going to try to diversify. They've got tight ends. They've got fullbacks. They've got multiple backs. You have a three-headed monster, I think, with Chico having running back skills as well. Yeah, creativity has got to be, I think, first and foremost and at the front of what they do this year. You do have a veteran quarterback that can handle all of it. And while he needs to keep it simple in his brain, that doesn't mean you don't diversify and get very versatile and use more and more of Ahmed's speed. And lastly, on it, as far as speed goes, when I evaluate it, there's a lot of little itty-bitty, and Pete Carroll the same way. Little itty-bitty guys that run real fast. It is very hard to find bigger guys, and he is in that little bigger step up that when he is moving, holy cow, is it impactful.
That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Great stuff in there. Text message. Salkus Yakima Orchard folk are porch aficionados.
That's
true. And a porch
true.
Absolutely does not need to be enclosed. It only needs to be covered. Great. Awesome. There you go. That's right. A porch. Lots now we know. Learn something every day here.
What about a veranda?
A what?
A veranda. Would that be like the enclosed one?
Good question.
I don't know how to define a veranda accurately. I know what a pergola is. Howdy taught me what a pergola is.
Right.
I don't know that I feel comfortable answering.
Does a pergola over a patio make a porch?
Doesn't a porch have to be attached?
Wow.
This is going to be very confusing.
This could go on for a while. We better take a break. When we come back, we're going to explore Lydia's psyche in a way that I think will relate to a lot of us. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.